I want to ask a question. In fact, a few questions this morning. The first one this. Have you ever felt in the Christian life that you take at times one step forward and two steps back? And sometimes you look at your own life and you think to yourself, I seem to be making very little progress. Do you ever feel that nobody really understands the difficulties which you encounter on a daily basis? And when you find yourself struggling to deal with the problems of life, I wonder, do you sometimes think that you've been dealt a poor hand at times? Could it be that metaphorically at times you stand and you gaze over the garden fence and everything on the other side of the fence seems to be far greener than it appears to be on your side of the fence? Do you ever get to the end of a busy day? And do you find yourself looking over the day's affairs and trying to trace the finger of God in your circumstances? I wonder, is the answer yes to some of those questions today? If it is, then perhaps the message is just for you. I want us to briefly recap upon the scene that we have before us. We're informed in verse 32 of Mark's Gospel that the Lord Jesus departed into a desert place. There he was alone, and he desired some quiet time. Yet in the very next verse, we observe that those that realized where the Savior was made haste. They ran after him, and they came together unto him. And so the Bible teaches us that he began to teach them. What an experience that must have been. To be in the immediate presence of the God-man. And to hear him expound from the law all the things concerning himself. And as he ministered unto the people, the sun began to set. And he turns to his disciples and hears what they have to say. Look what it says in verse 36 of the portion that we read together. His disciples said, send them away. Yet the Lord Jesus suggests that rather than send them away, they should be fed, they should be nourished before they are dismissed, and his remarks cause them concern. And then we witness one of the most public displays, one of the most visible displays that ever the world encountered in relation to the power of God, as the Lord Jesus endeavours to feed the 5,000 with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, with the packed lunch of a young lad. Verse 42 tells us, in the passage that we read together. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. But then we read these words. After the Lord performed a marvelous miracle in the midst of so many people, the Bible says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. What they didn't realize, but what he realized, is that the Lord Jesus was sending his people into the teeth of a ferocious and a tempestuous storm. Now the Lord knows the end from the beginning. But the disciples were completely unaware of what they were about to encounter and experience that night. I want us to reflect upon their ordeal. I want us for a few moments to consider the lessons that the Lord taught his people that very night. And I want us to perhaps consider, are we in a storm at this very moment? It may be that that's the case for some gathered in the fellowship this morning, that we're really struggling to cope with the obstacles and problems that life has to offer. Perhaps there may be some here who can look back to a storm that they have just encountered, to a storm that they have just passed through. Be sure that if you're not in a storm, and if you've not passed through a storm, then in all probability there's a storm not many days hence. How therefore should we react as the people of God when we are faced with the storms and problems that life has to offer? I would suggest there are a number of things that we must consider. First of all, remember this, that we are governed by his providence. Nothing will befall you or me in life except it be in the permissible will of God. The substandard of our church is, of course, the Westminster Confession of Faith that asks the question, what are the decrees of God? And the answer, the decrees of God are his eternal purpose according to the counsel of his own will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. This storm that the disciples had to deal with, it may have come as a shock to them, but rest assured it came as no surprise to their Saviour. As they wrestled with the tempestuous storm that night, and as their feeble boat was being tossed to and fro on the waves of an angry sea, I'm sure you know that they were unable to discern the wisdom of God in their plight. I'm sure that could be said for Job, when Job got to the end of a day, and when he looked out across the debris and carnage of his life, the richest man in the East, and in the space of a day it would appear he had lost everything that life had to offer. I'm sure as Job walked behind the coffins of his 10 children who he upheld on a daily basis before the throne of grace, oh, I'm convinced he was unable to discern the wisdom of God in his plight. Think of Joseph. Joseph, the beloved son of his father. The young lad sold of his brethren because of envy to the merchant men of Midian. Think of his faithfulness as he exercises a position of authority in Potiphar's house. And when Potiphar's wife comes to malign Joseph and to make Joseph sin through faithfulness to his master, consider what happened. As Joseph is taken from that place and position of authority, and as he's cast into the dark and dismal dungeon for months, yea, maybe for years, I'm sure that as he sat there, there would have been times when he considered how the finger of God and the hand of God, how the wisdom of God was being worked out in his life. Could I suggest, perhaps, in a similar vein, you find yourself in a similar position? Just unable to fathom the mind of the Master today. In the midst of such difficult days, could it be that today you too, struggling to deal with the problems, with the obstacles, with the giants, with the mountains, with the storms that life appears to have dealt to you. Remember this in the midst of the storm. You and I are governed by his providence. The Lord knows all about it. I want us to see something else as we consider the storm that night for his disciples. Remember, he sent them into the teeth of this ferocious storm, and the Lord knew what he was doing. But not only were they governed by his providence, they were graced by his prayers. Look what it says in Matthew's Gospel. Again, a similar account, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 22, we read these words. And this is Matthew's account, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. The Lord Jesus went to pray. It may be that the eyes of the disciples were off him, but his eyes were on them. Look what it says in Mark's Gospel in chapter 6 again. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 48. For whilst he was praying in the mountain, we read these words, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary. Whilst their eyes were on the problem, his eyes were on his people. Whilst their eyes were off him, his eyes were on them. Isn't that just wonderful? To think that the God of heaven would have such an interest in sinners such as we. You see, the Lord Jesus saw them. He knew all about their plight. He knew all about their difficulty. He knew all about their struggles and that which they were encountering at this time. And praise God, he knows all about your difficulties and mine as well. In fact, he was much in prayer for them, and he's much in prayer for you and I. Don't ever think that the Lord has no interest in sinners such as we. The Bible teaches us that we have one that pleads our cause in the throne room of heaven. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is not only our intercessor, but he is our advocate before the Father himself. And when you or I dare to think that we have nowhere and no one to turn to, then turn to Jesus. Because in the midst of their problems and in the midst of ours, remember, we are governed by his providence. We are graced by his prayers. When we consider the disciples, we note that they were gladdened by his presence. Look what it says in verses 48 and 49. He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him, yea, when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him. What a sight that must have been. When in the midst of the storm of life, the one who they knew so well, and the one who they loved so much, came walking upon the crest of the wave. What a sight that must have been when they were wrestling for their very life to cope with the storm that they were encountering. To see that the Lord Jesus came walking on the crest of that wave. What's the lesson that we can learn from the Lord's arrival? It's simply this. That what was over the heads of the disciple was under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What they considered to be a problem for them was under the control of the Saviour himself. His presence made all the difference to their experience that evening. Their eyes had been off him for far too long. And their eyes had been on their circumstances, and that's what the devil endeavours to do to you and to me. He tries to distract and to discourage. And he throws obstacles and problems in our path. And as a result, we find that our thoughts and attentions are taken from the Saviour to sort out the problems that we face. Perhaps that's the real issue this morning. Maybe we're not in the place that the Lord would have us be. Maybe in the permissible will of God, He has allowed difficulties to cross our path, in the sure and certain hope that He will drive both you and me back to Himself. Remember the scene that we read of when the Lord Jesus Christ was just 12 years of age. When He went up to the feast that was at Jerusalem. And remember how when the 8 days had been fulfilled, and Mary and Joseph were travelling back to their homeland, the Bible says, and supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey. They took their eyes off the Saviour for a day. And it was 3 days before they saw him clearly again. And what an awesome 3 days for that evening when they sought the Saviour amongst their friends and kinsfolk and they found him not. They had to retrace their steps to where the Saviour was. And where did they find him? They found him in the temple, disputing with the doctors and with the lawyers. I wonder, could that be our problem today? That we've taken simply our eyes off the Saviour. That we've been distracted. And yet Satan has come in and he has discouraged us by placing problems and storms and mountains and giants in our path. Well, remember this, our God is able. And just as Mary and Joseph had to retrace their tracks and find their way back to the Saviour, I would dare to suggest that that's what we need to do today. For all too often, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Not only can we see here that we are governed by His providence and graced by His prayers, but the disciples were gladdened by His presence, but praise God, they were guarded by His prayers. Never forget that the devil is a defeated foe. He lost the battle of Calvary. And praise God, our Saviour now lives and reigns in the power of an endless life. The Bible teaches us, and the Spirit of God encourages us, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. The hymn writer, when speaking of a scene such as this, simply put it like this. That winds and waves obey His will when He says to them, be still. Oh, to know that you and I are guarded by His power. I just want to share with you one final thought in relation to this scene. And it's this. That when the disciples were struggling with the storm of life, and when this was taking place in the permissible will of God, at that same psychological time, those disciples were growing by His plan. It begs the question, why should the Lord have sent the disciples into the storm in the first place? Why would He permit such an event to unfold when they had just witnessed for themselves a most marvelous event, the feeding of the 5,000? Well, could I suggest something? Could I suggest that perhaps the disciples have become complacent? They've become indifferent in relation to the things of God. They had become perhaps lethargic. Why would I make such a suggestion? Well, look with me, if you will, in verse 50. For it says, "For they all saw Him," that's all the disciples, "they saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered." Look at the next verse. "They wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." You see, they had simply become hard-hearted believers. My friends, it's possible. It's possible for us to get to the position in our Christian experience where we know we're saved, but we fail to serve. Where we know we're saved, but we prefer to just sit rather than to serve. When we look out and we behold a lost and a perishing world, and yet we have no burden for those that know not Christ. When our prayer life is not what it ought to be. When our walk with God is not what it ought to be. And we can't become in some strange way immune. Disinterested, lethargic, and complacent in relation to our walk with God. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. And yet, as they were in the midst of the storm, sitting around the feet of each of the disciples, in all probability, was a basket of bread, showing the goodness of God. How He'd fed the 5,000 and there was more for to spare. My friends, with this I'll close. Reverend Duncan Campbell, principal of the Faith Mission Bible College, when speaking to the student body in Edinburgh one day, made a statement, and he said this: I have discovered in my walk with God that it is very easy to become a busy minister of the gospel and at the same psychological time be an extremely idle Christian. Busy about the Lord's business, but too busy to spend time with God Himself. I wonder, is that the root of the real problem? Of the real struggle, of the real storm that we may have, that we may have come out of, that we may be drifting into? I wonder, could it be that you're too busy for God in your daily life? If that's the case, then you're far busier than God intended you to be. Could it be that in all honesty, we're not really right with God this morning? And you know it, and He knows it. And so He allows your feeble bark to drift and drift and drift until such time as the storms of life are tossing you about. Until you're driven to Him in the attitude of prayer and you beckon His forgiveness. Oh, I trust that today you may grow by His plan. You know, the Lord's not finished with you, and He's not finished with me. The Bible teaches us He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's what He desires this day. Are you gaining the victory? Are you going to overcome the storms in your life? Then get back to the Christ of the cross. Behold for yourself the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, because be assured, you're governed by His providence. You'll be gladdened by His presence when you return to Him, because He's promised He'll never leave you. Neither will He forsake you. You'll be gladdened by His presence and graced by His prayers. You've been guarded, and you'll be continued to be guarded by His power. But He desires this day that you and I, and yea, His disciples, might not become complacent, but might grow via His plan.